We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us on a Wednesday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Great first hour. Talked about what's going on in Major League Baseball and how the negotiations are in the deal zone, according to our Jeff Passan, despite the efforts of one owner trying to blowtorch the thing back into the suck zone.
How are we not using Top Gun music for this?
Well, you know, the deal Top zone. Gun 3, Top Gun 2 got pushed back, right?
Yeah, that's everything got pushed back.
Wait to time it up with the release on that.
I just heard theaters are starting to open up in the next month.
Phase 2.
I look forward to going to a movie.
Yeah.
Going to sit in the theater.
I look forward to going anywhere.
Some good cheese popcorn, sitting there watching.
Are you a cheese popcorn guy?
Cheese popcorn guy, yeah. Yeah.
No, he goes heavy on the extra cheese.
Yeah, and the one place we go around here has some great cheese popcorn.
Someone once gave me a great tip on popcorn in a movie theater. You take popcorn and then you throw after you put the hot butter in it, you throw M&Ms into the bag and shake it up, and then you have like a melted chocolate popcorny thing. It's really good.
Wow, that's a pretty good idea.
I have not tried it yet, but it sounds delicious.
I would try that.
My only issue with that is it sounds kind of messy. And when I'm in the movie theater.
Yeah, it does sound messy.
There will be mess.
That's my only issue with it is, you know, I'm operating in the dark. There's already a chance I'm going to spill something on myself because I'm clumsy and stupid.
True. So. I'm true. Operating in the dark.
Yeah.
One would hope that you would be operating in the dark when you're in a movie theater.
I mean that quite literally. Yeah.
It takes on a different meaning for me, but that's a whole
separate issue. Coming up a little later on, some of our guests will be joining us. Ryan Clark, our fine friend and NFL analyst and longtime NFL player. Jesse Rogers, our Major League Baseball reporter, will also join us. Harold Varner III, PGA Tour professional, getting set to tee
tomorrow,
it off.
Yeah, right?
Tomorrow morning. He's got his practice round today. Yeah. He's going to join us before his practice
Fort
round.
Fort Worth, right?
It's Charles Schwab.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But yes. It's at the Colonial Golf Course.
Right,
historic,
right.
Great golf course in Fort Worth, Texas. Don Garber, MLS commissioner, will be joining us. And Bubba Wallace, the lone African-American driver on the top NASCAR circuit, will join us as well. And Bubba has had a really interesting weekend. Again, before the race last week in Atlanta, he went out there with a shirt that said Black Lives Matter. And he's taken it to another level. Bubba Wallace appeared on CNN last night. And Bubba's basically saying, now that we have your attention, there are some other things that I think need to be addressed by NASCAR, including one thing that should no longer be present at any NASCAR race.
My next step would be to get rid of all Confederate flags. There should be no individual that is uncomfortable showing up to our events to have a good time with their family that feels some type of way about something they have seen, an object they have seen flying. No one should feel uncomfortable when they come to a NASCAR race. So it starts with Confederate flags. Get them out of here. They have no place for them. The narrative on that before is I wasn't bothered by it, but that I don't speak for everybody else. Yeah. I speak for myself. What I'm chasing is checkered flags. And that was kind of my narrative, but diving more into it and educating myself, people feel uncomfortable with that. So there's going to be a lot of angry people that carry those flags proudly, but it's time for change. We have to change that, and I encourage NASCAR, and we will have those conversations to remove those flags.
And Bubba's going to join us, as I said, a little bit later on, and he's going to have a new paint scheme on his car for the next race that will say Black Lives Matter on the car.
So certainly for someone like me being born in the Midwest, the Confederate flag never was a part of my life growing up, or really, Mike, your guys' life, or where I played while you guys were born. I had never been associated with it. So this is an area where I'm certainly not schooled at all. I mean, obviously the flag to me when the national anthem was played, I have a view of that just like others do as well. And that's one of the things we're talking about here. The Confederate flag, you know, it seems to be basically heritage or racism, right? That seems to be the two things that people look at. This is our heritage. We love this flag, and others look at it. This symbolizes racism to us. More education on it for me, if you want, at Golic and Wingo, certainly, chime in on this, but Bubba Wallace now saying he would like to see NASCAR outlaw the Confederate flag for in a sport that is a Southern sport, but we see it all across the country now. It has grown that big and be across the country, but we know of the Southern roots. So that flag has a sharp difference of meaning to some people. I wonder if NASCAR will take this step and say no Confederate flags at our races.
I mean, it'd be the video that NASCAR drivers put it out, because I want to make that clear. Yes. NASCAR didn't make them put it out. That was an initiative by the NASCAR drivers.
Jimmy Johnson specifically.
With Jimmy Johnson, and say, we are going to put this video out in support of being against police brutality and the things that we are seeing going on in this country right now. And they came out and did that, and that's all fine and good. Bubba Wallace then stands up and says something like this. This is a real interesting chance for everybody involved in that video to really be about it. Like, that's the test here now.
It is. And our own Jordan Cornett, who was on with Spain and Company, had his thoughts on Bubba Wallace and the Confederate flag, and it's been tolerated too long.
That's being black in America. It's tolerance. It's saying, right. I mean, I saw the stand-up from Michael Che that talked about, we're asking for civil rights. I mean, you're talking about a baseline of just be civil to us. That's what the request was from black people to white people. Just be somewhat kind to us. We'll tolerate just the baseline of respect. We're not asking for a lot. And that's what Bubba had to maneuver that all black people do in circumstances is, okay, we'll tolerate this. We'll find a way to keep it moving. And that's where it's changing as well.
And keeping it moving, right? That's been the point of all of this. Okay, we're here to listen. And Bubba Wallace had something very important to say. So NASCAR's going to listen. And then what do you do going forward?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a couple prongs here, right? It's going to be, to your point, Mike, the players, the drivers put out a video. Will the drivers back this? Because, again, Bubba Wallace is the only African-American driver at this level. So will the other white drivers who made this video and other ones in this series, will they back Bubba Wallace in this and try and pressure NASCAR into doing this?
So we have a couple of statements in an article that was on .com from Martin Trow Jr. who says, I think this is one of those things that some of us are just ignorant about and don't really think about or worry about. And then you'll hear somebody like Bubba talk about it and how he feels about how it, and it wakes you up a bit. Yeah, I think NASCAR is going to do the right thing. Denny Hamlin came out and said NASCAR is going to continue to make changes, and I'm sure they'll look at what flags they want to fly in the infield. If you look at all the haulers each and every week, they've got American flags flown all over the top of them. That's what we salute when we do the national anthem. Brad Keselowski was an interesting one. So notice a lot of non-statements in there. In a lot of this, Brad Keselowski says, I'm not going to tell people they need to get rid of it. That's not my right either, but I certainly don't salute it or respect it. So this is now we're really getting put to the test.
Yes,
all right. Like, you say you guys are against all of these things that black people have been telling us. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what we see as wrong. Black people are pointing out again in this situation. All right. The Confederate flag, we look at that and see half of a nation before a civil war that was pro-slavery, that wanted to continue that way of life in all of this. And so that is a painful memory. And they're saying we would rather not have to deal with that at the racetrack right now.
Well, it is interesting, right? Because every business has their own parameters. Right?
Martin Truex, sorry.
That's what I thought. I just want to make sure Martin Truex. But every business has their own parameters, and it's up to NASCAR to decide what they deem. Like, people say free speech. Yeah, you can say whatever you want, but there will be ramifications for it.
Our rules, will NASCAR make their rules? No Confederate flags at our, you fly them wherever you want, your house off our, but not in our race.
Will they go
that far? Because, if they go that far, then there's going to be that side of it. You know, people are going to bring them in, and then you know it's going to have to be, you know, there's going to have to be, is security going to go take them from people? You know, what's going to happen? How far will this thing go if NASCAR makes that move? Because this is what it's going to be, right? It's going to be, will the drivers put the pressure on the head of NASCAR to say, at our races, we do not want that flag flying?
And let's be clear, Bubba Wallace isn't saying you can't have it.
No.
He's saying at a business where we are trying to move forward, it shouldn't be present. Those are two very separate
basically
things.
He's saying, I want the business I'm in to say the Confederate flag can't be at any of our races.
Yes.
That's basically what's going on, correct?
Basically what he's saying, and you know, we hear the things that get brought up, and you mentioned it, Dad, at the beginning of this. People always point to, well, it's about Southern pride and heritage, and I just think it's one of those things that's difficult to extract. What's a part of that heritage?
Right.
And what went into creating that was something that, you know, quite little. Like it seems odd as a juxtaposition to the American flag that we've had so much of a debate about over the last 4 years, and that so many people have talked so glowingly about, and what it means to have a flag that was, I mean, quite literally called the rebel flag. Am I missing that?
Like, stars and bars.
Like I guess that's it seems weirdly subversive to the flag that we've been talking about and loving up so much for the last 4 years during the course of all these discussions. So again, it is now an interesting crossroads, because it has gone from the abstract in NASCAR, where it's easy to stand up right now and say we support all of these things, to a very specific issue, and one that is certainly very, very specific to NASCAR in a lot of these ways. Are those drivers going to now back up Bubba in the way that they talked about before?
Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A very, very serious topic with very serious ramifications, which we'll have a conversation with a little bit later. But coming up next, we're going to do a complete 180. We're going to do made-up rankings for a made-up draft of NFL players.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically, all on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Let's get you caught up on a little bit of what's trending. Fight Island's revealed. Mother of God. UFC President Dana White told ESPN's First Take on Tuesday that his mysterious Fight Island is located on Yas Island in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. The island will help the company promote, what did I say?
Emirates.
Yeah, I know.
That's NFLCER.
That's what you said.
Emirates.
That's what I said.
No,
you said Emirates.
No.
The island will help the company promote some of its international athletes who have a hard time entering the United States because of the travel restrictions caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The UFC will host four events on Fight Island next month, starting with a UFC 251 pay-per-view on July 11th. UFC Fight Night cards will take place on July 15th, 18th, and 25th. Hell yeah. Meanwhile, Shakur Stevenson dominated Felix Carabello last night as boxing returned without fans. At a fan-free MGM Grand Conference Center in Las Vegas, Stevenson stopped Carabello with body punch knockdowns in the sixth round to improve to 14-0 in his career. The fight capped boxing's first card in the U.S. since the onset of the pandemic in March. It was the eighth knockout of Stevenson's career and the fourth over his last six fights. Stevenson, who has been compared to Floyd Mayweather, is the fourth male U.S. fighter in the last 20 years to win both an Olympic medal and a world title, along with Jermaine Taylor, Andre Ward, and Deontay Wilder. And NASCAR looking to implement a plan to welcome back guests at select racetracks. NASCAR is going to allow up to 1,000 Florida Service members at Sunday's Cup race at Homestead, then up to 5,000 guests in the front stretch, grandstands, and towers for the June 21st Cup race at Talladega. NASCAR's modified event procedures, protocols, and the number of attendees have been finalized with guidance from both public health officials, medical experts, and local, state, and federal officials. All guests in attendance will be screened before entering, required to wear face coverings, mandated to social distance at 6 feet, and will not have access to the infield, among other operational protocols. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has the top entertainment when you need it most. Watch Margot Robbie take us on a twisted mind of Harley Quinn. Don't miss Birds of Prey. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with...
Trey, the power rankings. It's Trey Wingo's power rankings.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Trey's top three, or something like that.
The most ridiculous title of all time.
Don't hate the list. Don't do it.
Listen, I don't hate the list. We're a little clunky this morning. We're working through some things. But ultimately, we found Pater. We found our way to the list.
We did. So there was a story. Let's get the most important things out of the way. Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests joined us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. So there was a list that came out, a story that came out on .com, which is peak content summer discussion.
Yes, it
is. Mount Rushmore, yeah. Top five, whatever you want to do it. But kudos to our ESPN NFL Nation reporters who took the deep dive to attempt to redraft the entire NFL for four rounds. The premise was very simple. There are no salary caps. There are no contract worries. There's no free. Any player that you want that is currently in the league in any way, shape, or form, you had to draft four of them. The only parameters were you had to take a quarterback, a non-quarterback skill, a skill position player on offense, one defensive player, then a wild card.
Wild card. Right?
Wild card. So they went all 32 teams, all four rounds. So we thought, because Junior and I'm not sure Mike loved it as much as Junior and I did.
No.
We thought this was the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, it was the best list. They listed all 128 players that they drafted in order too, so we got right to debate that. But now we've also got the actual teams. So all the other 20 players on the team would be league average, but you're basically defined by the four that you pick. And so we thought, why not rank those?
Yeah. They used the order of the 2020 draft, and it was a snake draft, like a fantasy football draft. So a lot of this was determined on where things fell on you in the draft, which we understand. But I mean, like one team took a kicker for one of their four. It was a good kicker.
Wow.
One team actually took a kicker. It was Justin Tucker. So I went through and I had to eliminate a bunch of these teams. I eliminated 19 right away. It was pretty easy to eliminate 19 because the overriding thing for me on this, if I didn't think you nailed the quarterback, you were out.
So this is basically your top three list on which teams got the best four picks.
On the best four picks. And I narrowed it down to 13 right away.
It's the top three.
Yes. And from that 13, I whittled it down a little bit.
To three.
All right.
I think we got a G in there.
So we're starting with a three and what letter?
Let's start at number three, F.
Oh, my God.
Number three.
It was hard.
3F is 9 teams.
Yeah, kind of. 3F was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Now, I almost didn't include them because of the quarterback. And you're saying, wait a minute, Trey, their quarterback might be Tom Brady. It is Tom Brady.
Right.
But, you know, the premise of this draft, Junior, remember, was you're going to win a championship in the next couple of years.
In the next 5 years, you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
And Tom Brady's only signed for two. But I included him in there because the picks were Tom Brady, Alvin Kamara, defensive tackle Chris Jones, and wide receiver Kenny Galladay.
Getting Chris Jones in the third, 78th overall is a pretty big
steal.
That's
impressive.
Now, obviously, the weakest link there might be Kenny Galladay, but Tom Brady, as we know over the years, has done wonders with not top-notch wide receivers, and Kenny Galladay is a competent wide receiver.
All right. So that's number nine.
That's 3F.
Or 3F, I'm sorry.
This can't be happening!
Number three.
All right, number 3E is the Seattle Seahawks. And I have to say, had they taken a different quarterback, they might have gotten higher. Their quarterback was Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Again, you could make the argument, 30, whatever he is, coming off shoulder surgery, I'm not so sure how long he's going to be around. But look what they put around
him. They took Ben in the third round.
Yes, him in the third round. Yep. You got Mike Evans at wide receiver. You got Tank Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence, defensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, and Jalen Ramsey. I really like the way the team construct here on this one. What do you guys think of this team?
Man, you know what? Being able to get, and I think this is the key that a lot of people neglected, was a true lockdown corner and how early
Bingo.
You would go after that.
Bingo.
I know Stephon Gilmore was the only defensive back to go in the first round of this draft, but Jalen Ramsey not far behind in the second one. I think I love this team. Obviously predicated on the health for Ben, but
Ben is the question mark here.
But for the first time, you would have a defensive backfield that was something they could rely on, which I know Pittsburgh has been trying to find for years now.
Correct. Although technically this would be the Seahawks.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very convoluted because it's all made up and it's very interesting. Okay, next.
Another one.
This can't be happening!
Number three.
3D would be the Lions. Quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Woo.
Defensive player Derwin James, lots of flexibility. They took another defensive back in Tre'Davious White, whom I like a lot. He's not Stephon Gilmore, he's not Jalen Ramsey, but he's pretty damn close. And their wide receiver was DJ Moore. Now DJ Moore is on the cusp. I understand that, but boy, Lamar, what he can do, and two very versatile defensive players. I really like their draft.
I do as well. I'm a little more hesitant on this one. I do like the DBs in this one, though.
Right? Yeah. Tre'Davious and Derwin James offers you so many options.
He does.
That's what I really liked about this one.
DJ's got a little juice to him. Like in the right circumstances, maybe this could be a big boon for him this year in Carolina's offense. But all things considered, in this one, I like the team. Lamar Jackson, so much potential. Like, you're building on two of the most versatile pieces in the NFL.
Correct. Okay, we continue.
Number three.
Just hearing number three so many times, it's ridiculous. 3C is Washington. Now, this one, heavily skewed to the quarterback again, Russell Wilson. Can't argue with it. Can't argue with it. Proven winner. He's made everything go the way for Seattle, but he's with Washington right now. Shaq Barrett was their defensive player.
Okay.
Granted, one season, but he was a very solid player in Denver for a lot of years where he couldn't get on the field behind DeMarcus Lawrence and Von Miller. They also took Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Which I still think he's going to play at a very high
level. Seems odd this is Washington where they didn't want him.
Exactly. Yeah. And Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver who had a very good rookie year.
Sure did.
Honestly, I think I'm going to look back and wonder why this team wasn't higher.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
I'll be interested to see the next one.
Hear me out on these other ones.
This is the first one that I've seen where I've gone, all right, like, now Lamar Jackson alone and the other one kind of gave me pause, but this one, you've got maybe the second best quarterback in football and a wide receiver that I think is kind of the perfect fit for what Russell's had a lot of success with.
Totally agree. Okay, so we move on, sort of.
Number three on the list, stay with me.
3B would be your New York Jets. Quarterback Carson Wentz, wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., Chubb, and Zach Martin.
Zach lasting until the fourth round, I'm obligated to say, is a travesty.
I understand.
I just want that on the record. I'm obligated
now,
to say.
Now, I understand there are some concerns with this group. You know, the health of Wentz, where is Odell mentally, but when they're right, they're as good as anybody can be. And Zach Martin, come on.
I think I might already be saying I put Washington ahead of them.
It's possible. It's possible.
I'm not that far off with you on that one. Washington might be above them, but because Zach's there, I'll co-sign this.
They're one point away from
it. They're one A and one B.
Yeah. Actually, they're B and C. Yeah. We continue.
Okay. Stop it.
Number three.
Number three is the other football team from the New York, New Jersey.
3A, actually.
Yeah. It's 3A.
Yeah, it's 3A.
Sorry. 3A. The Giants. Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. Yannick Ngakoue coming off the edge. Teron Armstead to protect the quarterback. And Allen Robinson, who's been a very serviceable wide receiver. Now, listen, he's not a star-making wide receiver, but he will get it done, and Deshaun Watson buys you a lot of time. Again, all of these picks heavily skewed toward the quarterback that's on the team.
Yeah, this one should be 3C.
Yeah,
Washington's better than this team.
I agree.
I'd pretty firmly say that. I think Teron Armstead's probably better than Trent Williams right now, but that's probably the only area that you're winning on that team.
Deshaun Watson also I like a lot.
He
do as well, but
not better than Russell Wilson.
Not better than Russell Wilson.
It's fair. Yeah. Totally fair.
Okay.
We move on to the actual number three.
Number three.
And by the way, I thought the top three were pretty clear cut.
I was going to say, let's do 3, 2, and 1 kind of in succession, and then we'll discuss them after.
Okay, at three, I took the Raiders. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers, still believe he's got a lot left. They took Von Miller, a Super Bowl MVP. And then they got Henry Ruggs and Josh Jacobs. I like this group. I like this group a lot.
All right, who do you got at number two?
Number two. The Cincinnati Bengals, with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, Allen, Laremy Tunsil, and
Tyler Lockett.
And that's Keenan Allen, by the way.
Oh, so you got two wide receivers on this one.
Yeah.
Or no.
It's Josh Allen.
It's Josh Allen, the defensive end out of Buffalo, yes. Yeah. So we have a quarterback that's, the quarterback. You have a pressure guy off the edge. You have a tackle to protect your quarterback, and you have Tyler Lockett, who's can make things happen.
And who's number one? Come on now,
play it.
Number one.
And I thought this one was a no-brainer. That would be the Ravens. Matthew Stafford, Julio Jones, Stephon Diggs, and J.J. Watt. Now J.J.'s the question mark there, but again. Team construct, quarterback, wide receiver, another wide receiver, and if he's healthy, a presence off the edge. Now, granted, that one's tough because he's been beat up a little bit. But to me, the top three, and specifically the top two, I thought were clear and away the best.
The Stafford Hive salutes your pick, Trey.
There you go, baby.
You knew you were playing to the right audience with that one. Dan, any beef with the top three?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You had the Raiders third, you said?
Raiders. Aaron Rodgers, Von Miller, Josh Jacobs, and Henry Ruggs.
Now, I don't think I have much of a problem with that. I know I'd put Washington up more, but Washington in the top three.
Yeah.
The actual top three.
Washington's close right there. That's probably the one we could have the debate on in all of this.
The other one that almost made the list, two of them that almost made the list, the Jags with Dak Prescott, Danielle Hunter, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Marshawn Lattimore.
Strong.
And the Dolphins, Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott. Kirk Cousins was the quarterback there. And Kevin Byard was the safety.
Man, it's just like running backs and safeties this high in this kind of nerves me out a little bit.
And one last one, the Cowboys had Kyler Murray, Tyron Smith, Keenan Allen, and Max Crosby.
Keenan Allen's probably one that didn't get enough credit in the course of this. Yeah, that's a great depth pick for sure.
So there are my three-ish, and the longest-ish we've ever had, ladies and gentlemen. We are big on the ish. Coming up next, we're big on our next guest and what he has to say about everything that's going on in and around the NFL. We'll get to that next after SportsCenter.
All right, Baseball Players Association proposed to baseball 89-game schedule with a full prorated share of salary, sources told our Jeff Passan. In addition, our Jesse Rogers reports that the proposal would have the season start July 10th and end October 11th. And would expand the postseason to 16 teams, 8 in each league for the 2020-2021 season. In response to the union's Tuesday proposal, baseball source familiar with the negotiations told our Ravi that 89 games is a non-starter. College football, former USC Trojans running back Reggie Bush, his disassociation from the university is expected to soon come to an end, sources told ESPN. The timing comes as a result of an NCAA that's really stupid, by the way, that limits any mandated disassociation between an individual and a school not to exceed 10 years. Bush's disassociation began 10 years to the date, June 10, 2010, when USC received its penalties from the NCAA, including vacating every victory in which Bush participated while ineligible. On this date, June 10, 2019, so we're not going too far back, Golden State Warriors hold off elimination despite losing Kevin Durant to an Achilles injury and blowing a 14-point lead as they hold on to defeat the Raptors 106-105 Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Draymond Green blocked Kyle Lowry's potential series-winning shot as time expired, forcing a Game 6 where Toronto would eventually win and clinch the series.
SportsCenter is brought to you by AutoZone. Need a part for your car and need it fast? AutoZone has more ways for you to get it however you want it, like free next-day delivery or free same-day pickup, in-store or curbside. The choice is up to you. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Of course, that has been the question ever since he opted out of his contract in 2017.
Right.
You can make a long list of quarterbacks that are currently employed that are not at the skill level of Colin Kaepernick, even to this day. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our very next guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to talk to him. He is one of the voices of reason we talk to in a lot of times, and we're always glad to have him on the show, and that is our NFL analyst extraordinaire, Ryan Clark. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Look at you calling me extraordinaire. Man, I tell you what, it's already a great morning in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, though.
Yeah, I know. I never would have used that word, but that's okay.
RC, what do you make of the league and where they are and how they're trying to handle the protests and the trying to understand things in the wake of the death of George Floyd, specifically when the NFL decided to put out that video by Roger Goodell after the players had already made their own video?
Yeah, I think that the NFL was a little late and more reactive, but it's better than not acting at all, Trey. And I think we've seen the NFL do that before, not make statements, not stand behind players who are peacefully protesting. And so this is a step forward. I thought, that it was good that the NFL came out and said exactly what the players wanted. I even thought it was even more impressive that the players and Michael Thomas specifically took it upon himself to get that together, to call different guys and make sure that was something that was not only seen by the NFL, but seen by the world, which pressured Roger Goodell and the NFL to make a statement. I also think it was good that Roger Goodell added certain things, like I protest with you. He also said that without black players, they don't have a league. I mean, the one thing that was missing from everything that Roger Goodell said, and I know people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh my goodness, they still want more. But the one thing that was missing was Colin Kaepernick was right, that we shouldn't have blackballed Colin Kaepernick as an organization. Colin Kaepernick should have had a chance to play in this league again, because the way he protested was peaceful. The way he protested was actually respectful. And the reasons he was protesting were valid. And so I think that's the one step that many people, many current players, former players, would love to see the NFL take as well.
And Ryan, on that note, and we thought the same thing, because that was obviously the name missing, and we've heard other players, including Malcolm Jenkins, not only say he didn't say his name, but he should be on a team somewhere now, and we'll get into that. But we had our legal analyst, Ryan Smith, on to talk about, and he said there is possibility that something in that settlement, because remember that Colin sued the league, there was a legal thing that went on with he and the league, and there may be something in there that if the NFL did that and admitted they were wrong, so admitting guilt, that that would have somehow done something with that agreement. We don't know, and Ryan Smith even said, I don't know if there is, but that's a possibility. Is that enough of a reason, if that in fact could be the possibility, of why would you understand if the league then did not say his name?
Yes, if that was a possibility, I could absolutely understand that, because it's legal. It's legally binding. And when you have a situation that you deal with through the court system, those are things, those documents that you sign, those documents that you agree to, they not only hold work, but they they must be adhered to. So I understand that. And also, if Colin Kaepernick was good enough, or was good with that being the case going forward, then I can't be mad, or we can't be mad for him. And so, you know, that's something that we don't know, but if it's a possibility and if that's something that's probable, then you would definitely understand.
Talking to Ryan Clark with us, our ESPN NFL analyst here on Golic and Wingo. Ryan, do you see the owners getting involved in this in ways that people have called out and said needs to happen going forward when we get to the fall, when we get to actual football?
As far as Colin Kaepernick Jr. you're speaking of, or just
I think getting involved in general and everything that we've seen in this groundswell of support for certainly what Colin started, but also now what the rest of these players have taken up as a mantle of saying, we need your support as we protest this going forward. Do you think the owners are going to get involved in any, you know, material way as we get close to the season?
You know, I would hope so, but I honestly can't speak for them. If history tells us anything, is I think it's going to be extremely difficult to get the owners involved. You know, there were reports from Joe Lockhart that Roger Goodell was urging people to sign Colin Kaepernick if they felt like he was a viable choice for a backup position or a starting position, and the owners just didn't, quote-unquote, want to lose the money. What I felt was that the owners didn't want to align themselves with someone that was seen as disrespecting the flag, or someone that was pushing for equal rights for all people, someone that was pushing to put an end to social injustice. And I felt like once you sign a Colin Kaepernick, you say, I agree with those ideals. I also feel like what Colin Kaepernick doing is a just cause, and I support him in that. And signing Colin Kaepernick, it wasn't just about getting a quarterback or saying that he can play. It was about saying that you accept what he is doing. You accept what his message is. You accept his protest. And I just didn't feel like owners wanted to do that. And I think what's happened in the football world, at least, a game where so many of its players are African-American, is there is no middle ground anymore. You don't get to sit and spectate at this fight. This isn't the UFC and it's Daniel Cormier and it's Jon Jones and you're Halle Berry in the crowd. Now, I don't want to use the word pick a side, but you're either racist or you are anti-racist. You don't get to be a non-racist and say in February we teach our kids about Malcolm X and we teach our kids about Martin Luther King. you're going to have to stand against racism. You're going to have to stand against wrong, against evil, against hate. And I'm not sure that they have enough gumption. They definitely have enough money to stand against it, but I'm not sure that there are owners who care enough or who are anti-racist enough to stand on the side of right and be side by side with players as they're in their communities trying to make a difference.
Gumption, by the way, a tremendous word that isn't used enough. Richard Sherman, by the way, just specifically mentioned Jerry Jones in an article on Yahoo saying, I need to hear from someone like Jerry Jones. We've heard from Shad Khan, the Jags owner who's come out on this. I guess one of the questions I have, Ryan, look, we're in a weird situation where we may play football without a lot of fans in the stands this fall. Would that make it easier, do you think, for a team to sign Colin Kaepernick because there wouldn't be as many people in the stands that might have a reaction?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's about the reaction, to be truly honest with you, Trey. Like, you know, I've sat at negotiation tables with these people. They don't really care what you think. You know, they could say that they do, but this isn't about appeasing fans and not being booed by fans. This is about not losing money or not losing friendships or not losing relationships because you're standing behind a player who is seen as controversial, because you're standing behind a cause that you may not necessarily support, or the people in the circles you run with don't support. And I think that's a huge point of where we are now. The rooms that these billionaire owners are in are rooms that are sometimes filled with racist people, or they're sometimes filled with people who have ideas and ideals that don't necessarily match up with equality, that don't necessarily match up with fairness. And now by your simple signing of Colin Kaepernick, you say you stand against that. So do I not get to say the same things I used to around you? Do we not get to do business in the same way? Do we not get to hire in the same way because of acceptance from you? And so I think once you make this decision to align yourself with Colin Kaepernick, because that's what it will be if you decide to have him on your team, you have to have those beliefs. You have to share in the thoughts that social injustice needs to end, the institutional and systematic racism needs to end, and oppression. And so I think that that's a hard thing for these owners to understand when we know they have certain affiliations that go directly against what Colin Kaepernick was protesting.
RC, always appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
You too, buddy. Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So will Colin Kaepernick be on roster when training camp begins? We'll play a little edition of Either, Neither, or Both.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Either.
Ooh.
Neither.
There's levels to this, bro.
Or both.
Say it again.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
This is either, neither, or both with Golic and Wingo.
What it is.
Golic and Wingo.
Every time.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions. Part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and give funky. All in the sound booth of the home, the shower. Ooh. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you ready?
That's good stuff. Yeah, I'm ready.
You going to admonish us like you do every week?
No, listen, I don't have to be mean every time.
You just choose to.
Just most of the time.
Yeah, I don't have to. I just choose to.
Because it's fun as hell. So we're going to play either, neither, or both right here, give you guys some options.
Do
you know
it.
The drill.
Do it.
It's all in the name.
Do it.
All right. Either, neither, or both, Trey.
Yeah.
We'll get a new deal before the start of the season. Dalvin Cook, Dak Prescott.
Wow. Well, Dalvin's going into the final year of his deal.
Yep. Yes.
He's got a contract. He's a running back. He ain't getting a deal. So the question is, do we believe Dak Prescott's getting a deal? I have to think it's either, and I think it's Dak, because I have to believe before July 15th, because even though it might benefit Dak to play under the franchise tag, it doesn't benefit the Cowboys for him to play under the franchise tag. So I think they'll get a deal done.
I'm going to go the other way and say either and say Dalvin Cook. I think Dak's going to play on the tag.
Well, okay.
And I think Dalvin Cook, actually, I think they'll give him a reasonable deal because they need him on the field.
Give me a little sugar. A little sugar.
I'll go the triple threat on this one, and I'll go neither.
Wow.
I'll say Dak's playing on the tag for this one, and I think Dalvin's the unfortunate beneficiary of the recent history of the position.
Yep.
All right. Dad, either, neither, or both will be in the NBA Finals. Lakers, Bucks.
Both. The one I think that could cloud this up would be the Clippers, without question, with Kawhi Leonard. So that's the one kind of outlier there to me. But I think these are, I know they keep talking this because of the difference could be different, you know, this year with how wacky it is, everybody in one spot. I still think the cream will rise to the top and those two will be in the finals.
I think it's going to be either, and I think it's going to be the Lakers. I'm just concerned about the Bucks, and I think there's a team in the Eastern Conference that is not built for the regular season, but maybe built for the postseason and is getting healthier, and that's the 76ers.
Oh, wow.
Cliff, that's for you, baby.
Wow.
I also believe it.
For what it's worth, ESPN Basketball Power Index still has Lakers-Bucks as the most likely finals matchup, with the Bucks a 60% chance to win that series, the projected outcome 4-1. According to the BPI in that
one. Yikes.
Yeah. I am going to go both. I think ultimately we've talked so much about the effects of the layoff. I think one thing that we'll see is the good teams are still going to be really good, and the advantage may more than ever be on that, because cohesion matters less when you've got better parts. Either, neither, or both will be on a roster come training camp. Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton.
So by the beginning of training camp.
By training camp, I will say neither. Yeah.
I think Cam is going to wait, and there'll be an injury, and then he'll get to a team. I don't think Colin's getting signed by a team. I do not. And I know that's been the talk as of late, is there are players now talking about Colin should be signed by a team, talking about it from his side. I really found it interesting. A guy played in the league for a bunch of years and was our teammate at ESPN for a while, Marcellus Wiley. I heard him talk yesterday about reasons he doesn't think Colin will be, and putting the onus on Colin's side, on why, what Colin's, some of the things that went on during everything, on why Colin wouldn't be signed. I thought it was really interesting coming from Marcellus. That was just the other side of it. I do not think he will be signed by a team.
I think neither will be signed by training camp. I think there's a possibility Cam does when there's an injury, and I have no idea what to think about Colin Kaepernick at this point. I mean, it's not about ability. It's never been about ability.
What we think should happen. Right. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, and I think the point Ryan brought up is, I think the Ryan Clark, who was on with us before, brought up is probably the most important in this, is once you bring him in, now not only are you saying by signing him that you support the things that he has had to say, the things that he's been protesting about, but in this environment, I believe you would actually have to go out and show that in ways too. So you'd have to be prepared to back up that message in a meaningful way that I still don't think a lot of owners are ready for in all this one. All right. Either, neither, or both will happen again. McGregor, Khabib, McGregor, Mayweather.
All right, well, it's got to be either. McGregor, Mayweather, I mean, I don't think anyone's running for that one, so it's not going to happen.
I pray that one never happens.
See, here's the thing, though. The gate that would bring in, even if it were half the gate of what it brought in last time, maybe more than the Khabib-McGregor gate. I don't know that for a fact, and we could obviously try and look into that. But I don't think, man, I just don't see it happening. And I see Khabib beating Gaethje, so I'd say McGregor and Khabib.
I'm either McGregor or Khabib.
All right, rapid fire round.
Let's do it.
Either, neither, or both will make the Pro Bowl this season. Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
Sam Darnold.
I say neither. The initial Pro Bowl, not after,
the exponentially replaceable. Yeah.
The initial Pro Bowl vote, I say neither.
Either, give me Sammy Dimes, there me you and go. You, Trey.
I'm with you, pal.
Let's rock with it.
All the way on that one. All right, coming up next on Golic and Wingo, life isn't fair and neither is the NBA. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio and ESPN2.